Following Jesus, like swimming, requires that we follow the buddy system. The life of following Jesus is not a solo journey. You and I have to make a decision right now, today, before we walk out of here. We must commit without reservation that we are going to refuse to go it alone, that we will not fly solo, that we will not be Lone Rangers. We need others. Every one of you today for the long haul journey of following Jesus needs to have strong, committed support of Christ-honoring relationships in your life, or it's just not going to work. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Without a doubt, if we're going to continue to be this vibrant, Christ-centered community where we are calling and connecting generations to Jesus, if we're going to continue to go deeper in Christ, if we're going to continue to go farther in the mission that we believe God has called us to make followers, we make followers of Jesus, the great command, then you and I are going to need to buddy up. We're going to need to buddy up. Turn to someone beside you and say, buddy up. Buddy up. You need a supportive relationship in Christ. Christopher McCandless chose to go it alone, and it cost him everything. John Krakauer, he wrote a true story entitled Into the Wild, and it tells the story of this young McCandless who he graduated from Emory University. He was a top student, an athlete, and then he all of a sudden abandoned all his possessions. He gave away his whole savings account, $24,000, to charity. He cuts off all his connections and contacts with family and friends, and he hitchhikes to Alaska to live in the wilderness. Now, many of you at some time in your life have probably thought, now that sounds awesome. I would just love to get away, hitchhike, go out into the wilderness and cut myself off from everybody. That would be the life. You know, for some of you, it's totally appealing. Go some far off place, nobody around. Test your survival skills like Bear Gillis. You know, just really get in there and survive off the land. Be completely self-sufficient. How many have ever had that thought in your life? I'm not the only one. All right, okay. So I remember thinking about that when I was a kid. It's like, oh, it'd be so good. I read The Far Side of the Mountain. You know, I wanted to just go off and be by myself. I can do it. I can live. But maybe it was living with five sisters. I'm not sure. But they're great. That was probably more a reality 30 years ago than today. Christopher, he thought that he could go into the wilderness. He thought he could do this solo experience, and he kept a journal about it. And as you get an opportunity to kind of hear his sentiment, you can almost feel his exhilaration as he goes out into the wild country. You know, as he, that adrenaline rush as he looks at the snow-covered peaks of the Alaskan mountains, as he crosses over ice-covered streams and goes further and further out into the wild. The author tells the story in such a way that you can almost feel or sense what it would be like to line up an Alaskan moose in the sights of your rifle, and the adrenaline and rush that comes with, you know, seeing that animal fall and then realizing that, you know, you're going to have food to eat for the coming season. You could feel his accomplishment as he braved that Alaskan elements and the rush of knowing that he was surviving on his own. He was doing it. He was making it. He was learning to gather herbs. He was eating edible plants. He described this solitary but routine daily discovery. He felt only a little regret, not understanding the environment better and being ignorant of how harsh that Alaskan wilderness really is, how difficult it actually is to survive. He talked about living and taking on the challenges of finding ways to overcome and priding himself in being sure that most people would not be able to do what he is actually doing, which would eventually, when he was ready, he would go back to civilization. At least that's what he told himself. I think as Christ followers, sometimes we feel that way. You know, like I'm doing good. I can keep some people at a distance. I can, you know, keep my relationships off. I'm doing well on my own. I'm strong. I'm tough. I can handle this. Someday I'll build those relationships that I need. Someday, but not yet. What McCandless didn't understand is that at some point, even the most skilled, knowledgeable, equipped adventurer runs into trouble, needs help. And Christopher, he was alone. He had vanished into the wilderness without leaving a trace. No other person knew his itinerary. He wanted to be utterly and completely cut off from everyone else, and he was, and it became his demise. Too often, again, you and I, we think we can go it alone. I think we imagine we are far better equipped as Christians than we really are. And I think we feel like we can handle whatever life throws our way. We're strong, we're tough, we have Jesus. But the truth is, we can't. We need each other. And if we're set on going it alone, then most likely, just like Christopher, that will lead to our own downfall. So for him, as knowledgeable and as skilled as he was, he still made a mistake. While he was gathering food, he chose some berries that were unknown to him, that they actually grew a harmful bacteria, which under normal circumstances would be a grave illness, but it would be a curable disease. In the isolated wilderness, alone as he was, it became a fatal error in judgment. He became weakened, and day by day, after a couple of weeks, he could no longer hunt or gather food, and without anyone around, his strength to walk out of the wilderness diminished, and he slowly but surely became victim to his isolated condition. So months later, out in the Alaskan wilderness, in a long abandoned construction bus fitted with a makeshift bunk for a shelter, the emaciated body of a young man was found by a couple experienced hunters. His desire to go it alone resulted in his dying alone. Too often we live our Christian's lives like Christopher, alone. And we find ourselves that it works for a while. We can go along, but at some point or other, every one of us runs into a crisis. Sooner or later, we all face a struggle that we can't handle by ourselves. Has anyone ever faced a difficult situation? Well, let me tell you, if you haven't, you will. You will. It's inevitable. I have. I would not be up here today if I didn't have people coming alongside me and walking with me to help me get through things that I know I couldn't do on my own. I admit, I have problems. But so do you, right? We all have problems. We all face troubles. Jesus guaranteed it. He said, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. You will have trouble. He does say, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But don't expect that you're going to make it through without any difficulty. 100% of us will face things that are beyond ourselves. And think for a moment of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying to the Father. Scripture talks about drops of blood coming off him like sweat. And he said this, the Son of God. He said, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here. Keep watch with me. You know, as I read this, I think that soul-crushing moment in Christ's humanity, Jesus needed his friends alongside of him. You know, when you face those human moments of desperation, and we all do, will you have the energy? Will you have the encouragement? Will you have the support that you need to get through? So even if you're wired for as an extreme introvert, you still need support. You still need a friend. Christopher McCandless didn't have anyone to help him. If that's you and I, we very well may not survive this walk as a Christ follower. You need a friend. So, you know, in our culture today, it's no secret that we are in a mental health crisis, right? I mean, statistics talk about how difficult it is for us to just kind of survive the things that we are facing in this world. Doesn't matter really what age you are. You can be a teenager or younger and still face anxiety and struggle. You can be an elderly person who has walked all your life, but still now, in this season of life, facing things that you never thought you would. Hard, difficult stuff. Loneliness, isolation, depression, anxiety. You know, it comes even when we don't expect it. We all need a trusted, supportive relationship of people to come alongside us and help us navigate these difficulties of life. And Pastor Ray Johnson, he says this in his book, Hope Quotient. He said, this will be your lifelong battle. I totally agree with this. I think as I get older, I feel like this is it. This will be your lifelong battle and mine to meet the rising challenges in our life with rising levels of support from trusting, supportive friends. And there's good news today. If we do that, you and I will unleash hope in our lives. Friends, we need that hope unleashed in our lives right now. You know, I'm preaching on this series that focuses on factors that raise our hope. We need to acknowledge and give credit to Ray Johnston, in our partnership with Bayside Covenant. 10 years ago, we were kind of resurrecting and reviving this series. I don't want you to think, however, that all this material comes from me, that it's original with me, or that it is based on the foundations on the story of Christopher McCandless, because it's not. Or that it's based on statistics about mental health and the crises we face. It's not. It's not Ray Johnston's wisdom that this is based on. It's not my wisdom that it's based on. Its foundation is found in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, which makes it very clear that God never designed us to go it alone. You are not designed to be alone. In the very beginning of the Bible, chapter 2, God said, it is not good for the man to be what? Alone. And in truth, he created a suitable helper. I thought about a super helper. But, you know, suitable helper to be the first human. So the Bible says, he created man and women. The two should become one. They're in relationship together. It represents the Godhead, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity together in perfect union. Jesus, in the book of John, he said it another way. He said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Doesn't say love yourself, right? Each other. We're created for relationship, to be together. The bottom line is that we all will not live well unless we are surrounded with those good, supportive relationships that help us to thrive and help encourage us and help us to go. You might hear in a wedding ceremony this verse in Ecclesiastes read. So I'm going to invite us to try to read these phrases on the screen that are underlined. Read these together. So if they come up, not that one. All right. Oh, okay. Well, just read this with me. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So we apply this to the struggles of life. Like, you know, it's great to have someone to help. You get better return for your labor. We do better together, right, in the things that we do. But if we fall down, when we're in trouble, when we're struggling, we also will have someone that's going to help us up when we can't do it on our own. And friends, there are times when we can't get up on our own and we need help. So today, we're going to get serious about building great relationships. What does that look like? What kind of relationships do we need? In his book called Supply Lines, our new superintendent, Scott Nelson, he talks about the value of strong supply lines. So he describes the defeat of the German army in Stalingrad by what he called an under-resourced, inferior Russian army. He said the Germans had advanced without hardly any resistance, all the way to Stalingrad. They had occupied about 90% of the city, and as winter came on, it looked like there was no hope for the Russian army. However, they held out and were able to come around and attack the supply lines of the Russian army and cut them off. And without food, without equipment, without ammunition, it was only a matter of time until the German army was emaciated and had to surrender. And that was a turning point in the whole war. The long-term outcome proves that without support, you and I cannot win the battle, no matter how much heart we have. We have to have strong, supportive supply lines. So he talks about that in our spiritual walk, and that we're in a battle. You know, we're a battle against darkness and light. As we try to bring the light into a dark world, we have an enemy, a foe, whose aim is to destroy yours and my supply lines so that we can no longer continue on. He says a soldier without support will eventually surrender. I think it's so true. If we don't have the support of our loving relationships of friends on the journey with us, we'll surrender. We can't keep it up. So you and I have to ask an important question. Are your friends taking you to a better place in life, or are they just helping you survive? And if the answer isn't necessarily what you would like it to be, then you and I need to know what kind of relationships we need to be building right now in our lives that are going to support us and help us thrive, even in the difficult situations. So Ray Johnston and Scott Nelson, they both, in their outlines, they come out with the exact same supportive relations or supply lines that we need to build. And there's five of them. They are vision casters. They are soul sharpeners. They are models and mentors. They are tail kickers. I kind of like that one. And heart healers. So we're going to take a look at these five, starting with vision casters. In Proverbs 29:18, the scripture, King James says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now, other translations talk about where there is no prophetic revelation, people diminish. They perish. They cannot go on. So what are we talking about? You know, there's a Fortune 500 CEO. He stopped at a gas station to fill up his tank with gas, and his wife went inside, and he watched as she struck up a conversation with the cashier. Animated conversation, looked pleasant with the man that was working inside. And when she returned to the car, her husband asked, "You know, who are you talking to?" And she said, "Oh, that was my old boyfriend. Isn't it unbelievable? Ran into him?" And her husband smiled and said, "I'll bet you're glad that you married me, a Fortune 500 man instead of a service station attendant." And she paused and then replied, "It's not what I was thinking. I was thinking you're fortunate that I married you, or he'd be the Fortune 500 CEO. And you'd be the gas station attendant." See, when you have these solid, supportive relationships in place, you can go farther. We talked about 2 weeks ago that we learned to ask this question. Whenever we're facing struggles or difficulties, you know, we ask the question, you know, not just what's happening right now, what I need to do, but what can this become? How can this adversity, this difficulty, this problem become something greater that God has in store? How can God use this? So we talked about that when we're facing, whatever we're facing right now, no matter how difficult, we need to ask that question, what can this become? And then we need those people around us who can encourage us, what can this become? Those people help raise our expectations. They point to that prophetic revelation of God that helps us trust that, you know, even though things are impossible with us, that with God, all things are possible. Our hope level begins to rise when others point out the potential. When I see our church in our community and talk with people around me, I'm encouraged. My hope rises because people see things happening, but not just that. I think people talk about the potential of what can become here at Bethlehem Covenant Church. What can become through the ministry we do? What can become with our partnerships with other churches, with other community people to make Wheaton and our community stronger and more vibrant and more alive, better places? And I hope it encourages you. I believe that we are just scratching the surface of what God has in store, what God intends for our communities through the good news of the gospel coming forth. I think we're just scratching the surface, and I think that encourages you and I. I hope it encourages us to this preferred future that God has in store for us, wherever we are going. So we ask, what can this movement of the Holy Spirit become? What can God do with us? Do you have those relationships that help you? Relationships that help you see that there are better days ahead, no matter where you are in life, in the beginning or the end. I believe with all my heart there are better days ahead. And friends, I'm not just talking about that day when we meet with the Lord, face to face, you know, in our eternal home, and all glory and praise. And it's a wonderful place to be when we experience all the fullness of life that God intends for us in the resurrection. I mean, yes, absolutely, better days ahead. But even now, that God has things in store for us together to experience and accomplish as followers of Jesus. So that's the first relationships, those relationships that inspire us, the vision casters. The second one are the spiritual relationships that were called soul sharpeners, the relationships that help us to know Jesus better and go deeper with him. So these are the friends that move us beyond our insecurities to actually become the people that God intends us to be. Not just a vision, but actually living into that. These are the ones that are especially concerned with your spiritual life. They ask that old covenant question, how goes your walk with Jesus? And not just smile, but actually listen and wait for an answer. How goes your walk with Jesus? Good? Not so good? Pretty good? I don't know. And then might even follow up with a question like, why is that? What needs to change? Or what is working? Sometimes they even grind on us. And that can be annoying, right? It can be painful. Didn't see you in church the other day. Now, nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, there's some reality to that. Like why not? You must have, what's going on? But if you and I really live into that abiding, abundant, hope-filled life that we're promised as a Jesus follower, we're going to need soul healers in our lives. The Bible reminds us that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Do you have someone like that in your life? Someone who can speak the truth in love, who actually asks the right questions in the right way. Questions that help you take stock and say, oh, you know, I don't really want to admit this, but you're right. My first year in seminary, I never wanted to answer any questions because I was afraid that everybody would realize that I was totally ignorant to what the Bible was. I didn't grow up in a community or church that we read the Bible and we learned it and we studied it. And so I was really ignorant. I was just quiet, sitting in the corner, just waiting. But I learned that if I did raise my hand, I began to learn and people would come alongside me and encourage me and help me to learn. If we're never challenged to become more than we are, we're highly likely that we're not going to rise. So we all need soul sharpeners who know us, who love us, who care for us, who are willing to expose those growth areas in our lives. Because when you and I are willing to acknowledge that we need to grow, then we're willing to be exposed, not just to those insecurities, but to the opportunities to become something that we are not yet. And that exposes, that exposure comes reluctantly at times, but I still need soul sharpening relationships today because the truth is it's really, really easy to get complacent. It's so easy to say, I'm pretty good. I'm just going to coast. Nothing wrong with that. And then someone will come along and say, well, what about this? That friction has been polishing and honing my soul and continually creating challenges and opportunities for me to grow and become who I am today and who I will become tomorrow. So we need those relationships. We need vision casting relationships that inspire us. We need soul sharpening relationships that motivate us. And we need hope building relationships of models and mentors, people who walk alongside us in the practical application of our lives. So who are the models and mentors in your life that help you to follow Jesus? Who's walking beside you that can lead you to that next level of your own calling? So let me take you to the experience of Saul. He's the first king of Israel in 1 Samuel 10:8. In Saul's story, his models are the kings of the ungodly nations around him. Not good models at all. And, you know, Israel wants to be like the rest of the nations. And yet God has placed in Saul's life this prophet called Samuel, who is there to actually direct him and guide him and lead him into the things that God has called him to do. So Samuel is God's prophet. And he calls right before a major battle. Samuel says this to Saul. He says, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. See, we need those mentors in our lives who can actually tell us this is the way to go. This is how you need to walk. But instead, Saul chose to go it alone, without the help of his mentor, and specifically without the prophetic advice that God was giving, and it cost him God's blessing, and it cost Saul the kingdom. The Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, he continually is urging those who are following. He says, follow my example. Now, how can he say that? Follow me. Aren't we supposed to say follow Jesus? Well, he does. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know, we all need those human models who reveal what it means to be a Christ follower. We need those mentors in our lives. So find a Christ follower that is living the life that you want to live, aspire to be, and then ask them if they would coach you, if they would come alongside you and walk with you in that specific area of life. And then follow their example. The Apostle Paul, he encouraged his readers, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Do it. So we need relationships that are going to help increase our hope. We need vision casters. We need heart healers. We need those mentoring, modeling relationships. And we need tail kickers, those relationships, those motivational ones. My first coaching experience a dozen years ago, I had a ministry coach who was able to kick my tail when I needed it. You know, I remember one specific call, like it was yesterday. I was complaining about all the fundraising and whining because I didn't think we should have to do all this extra work to raise funds for mission and raise funds for youth groups and to raise funds for camps. And it seems like all we're doing is having dinners, raising funds, doing fundraisers, talking about money. And she listened very intently to me and very, what I thought was, you know, very compassionately, all that I had to say, just kept listening. And when I was all done, she said, Tim, I hear you. Get over it. It's like, ouch, it hurts a little bit. You know, that's exactly what I needed to hear. It's part of what it means to do life and ministry together. You know, when that happens, though, aren't you glad they told you the truth? Aren't you glad they told you what you needed to hear so that you could simply get back on track? Oscar Wilde, he wrote about a true tail kicker. He says, true friends stab you in the front. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? But the truth is, they'll tell you what you need to hear. Now, hopefully, in the church, we're doing that with truth and love and discovering what that means. But the wisdom of the Bible, it reminds us that wounds from a friend can be trusted. In other words, you know, when we hear something hard, it kind of sticks, but we need to hear it, we can trust it from a friend, someone who cares about us. But an enemy multiplies kisses. I do have a very close tail-kicking relationship in my life right now. You may know her. Without this person, I might operate very differently without her. I need her to remind me what's what. I need a tail-kicking relationship, and she has permission to do it. So have you guessed her name yet? Very grateful for her. And finally, we need another very important relationship in our lives, and that is heart healers. We need heart healers. We need those interpersonal relationships who know us and can come alongside us and really heal us in our time of wounding. King David in the Old Testament, he had one. We read that in the scripture. 1 Kings 18, it describes some of the darkest times in David's life, but he wasn't alone. He had Jonathan, a close friend who gave him both support but also courage. He encouraged him to continue moving forward. David knew that Jonathan would put his friendship above his own interests. And he was a true friend when David most needed one. Do you have a friend like that? We all need true Jonathans in our lives to help us survive. You know, these are friendships that build strength and healing back into our lives when we don't feel like we can go on. When we feel like we've lost everything worthwhile, the heart-healing relationships restore our hope. Scripture says, "And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath of love for him because he loved him as he loved himself." Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." So we can't go it alone. We are made for life together. We are made for these supply lines, these supportive relationships that help us go the distance, that build us to be more than we are now, and relationships that can carry us forward when we're stuck and when we have lost our way. Relationships with people who deeply know us and love us and care for us, and sometimes even better than we know ourselves, see things that we don't see, and will do what is best for us because they love us like a sister or a brother, because they are dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of these supportive relationships I find in my wife, Cheryl. But I want you to hear this for some of you. Listen carefully. Your spouse cannot fill them all. One person cannot fill all of these relationships. So right now, I'm beefing up my supportive relationships. I have a ministry coach currently. I have a spiritual director to help me draw near to Christ. I'm developing and modifying those mentoring relationships that help me through specific journeys right now. I have soul healers who I can reach out and have pray for me whenever I want and continually pray for me. And finally, probably one of the things that we forget about and sometimes neglect, I'm seeking to strengthen my personal spiritual disciplines and intimacy with Jesus so that I can abide in him every day. You know, our primary relationship is in Christ. All the others help support that. So as your pastor, my supply lines are vital to the life and health of the church, to my life and health. And so are yours. Are you still wondering, do I need these relationships to be a follower of Jesus? You know, remember Jesus' ministry. He called 12, right? To be with him as he taught them and as he sent them out. And then he called 72. And how did he send them out? Two by two, right? Together. He didn't send them out one by one. Together he sent them out so they could encourage, support, strengthen each other. Throughout the New Testament, we read about people being sent out together, always together. I mean, we may find ourselves alone at times, but the intent is together. So how are your supply lines? Which ones do you need to work on? Of those five relationships, which ones do you need to build? So now that we have those five supporting relationships that we need, the big question, where do we get them? Here's the answer. Very rarely do we find them. Ray Johnston writes, "There is no tree of friends somewhere that you need to find. Friends are not found, they are built." You get them by investing yourself in relationship. So today would be a great day to start doing something to build some friendships, because you and they will be glad you did. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have called us and provided for us those relationships that we need. First and foremost, Lord, you created us as social beings designed to be in relationship with others. First with you, then with others. And Lord, you call us into the family of God, and we have this understanding that family means relationship. Sometimes it's struggling, sometimes it's difficult, but Lord, we know that we need good, healthy relationships in our lives. And I pray today for those online watching or here today that are struggling to have or to build or to experience relationships that are truly life-giving, hope-building, fueling who they are in Christ. And so that if that's one of you here today, I just invite you to ask. Scripture says, ask and you'll receive. Knock and you'll find. Just ask the Lord. Lord, I need someone in my life to fill one of those relationship voids. Tell the Lord that and ask, Lord, please show me someone that I can build relationship with today. And I trust the Holy Spirit is going to reveal that person. Maybe you already know who that is. And if you do, I would say reach out in the next 24 hours to that person and just strike up a conversation. See where it goes. And if not, I trust if you're asking, if you're praying, if you're seeking, the Lord will provide that relationship. And then do the difficult work that it is to, Lord, help us to do that difficult work, to help us to nurture that relationship to become what it needs to be. And Lord, the flip side of this is that we also are called to be those relationships for others. So show us, Lord, who we can come alongside. Not to overpower or push in, but Lord, to simply build relationship and maybe be invited in, that we might be supportive, a supportive supply line in their life. And Lord, my hope, my goal, our goal as a church, Lord, I pray that every one of us, every person connected online here today or that comes, will have those five nurturing relationships that are so needed. And Lord, that through that, you will expand your kingdom, that the light will shine, the darkness will flee, and Lord, we will see things that you intended all along, more than we can ask or imagine. So Lord, thank you for Jesus, who is our friend. Invite him in. Jesus, I believe, I trust you. Come in, fill me with your Spirit, and guide me. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And all God's people say, amen.